Okay, so this is the last session of the day and of the conference, so I hope you had a good lunch. First up, we have Lex Hanman from ABP.
Good afternoon. My name is Lex Hanham. I'm a business development manager for Associated British Ports, and I'm here this afternoon to talk to you about harnessing port infrastructure to support net zero. Before I do that, let me just briefly explain who we are and what we do for those of you who don't know us. Do I control the slides? I do, yes. There we go. ABP is the UK's largest port operator with 21 ports in England, Wales and Scotland. Immingham is the largest standalone port in the UK, and Southampton remains number one port for deep sea trade, automotive, cruise and also has the second largest container terminal in the UK. Our business supports £15 billion worth of value to the UK economy every year, and we handle about a quarter of all seaborne trade in the UK. Our port estate totals nearly 5,000 hectares of freehold land. We do have some free ports as well, and includes nearly 1,000 hectares of strategic development land. We're owned by a consortium of pension fund and sovereign wealth fund investors, long-term investors with the expertise and capability to develop bespoke facilities for our customers to meet their growth aspirations and support their development. The images on the slide depict what we would historically call our core business, our areas of expertise, the focus of our investments. And whilst all of these sectors remain very much a part of our future strategy, the role of ports is changing. Being at the forefront of global trade and industry, ports are going to be playing a crucial role in the fight against climate change, and ABP and other port operators are fast becoming green infrastructure companies. So how does one harness port infrastructure to support net zero? I've got 15 minutes, so this won't be an exhaustive explanation, but I thought what I'd do today, rather than talking conceptually, is share with you some examples of how port infrastructure is a vital enabler to the UK's net zero transformation. If you weren't already aware, you can see here that many of our ports sit within industrial clusters, specifically the Humberside, South Wales and Southampton. And decarbonisation of these industrial clusters, as you all know, is essential to achieve net zero. As port operators, we see ourselves as facilitators, enablers bringing together producers and off-takers, working with government, regulators, industry bodies, our customers and communities to decarbonise these clusters. I haven't unfortunately been able to attend the whole of the conference, but I'm pretty sure a lot of you have been talking about the importance of collaboration and partnerships to get to net zero. Whilst we recognise that ports will play a significant role in this, we also recognise that they cannot act independently to work towards our collective goals. So I'm going to start to take a look at renewable energy integration. Obviously, there's more than one type of renewable energy, but for today, I'm just going to take a look at offshore wind. The growth targets for this sector are incredibly ambitious, and they will require significant development of both marine and land infrastructure in order to deliver on these targets. ABP's infrastructure already plays a crucial role in this sector, and hosts operations and maintenance facilities that support over 7 gigawatts of installed capacity. You can see on the image to the right here, Siemens Gamesa's blade manufacturing facility and load out port in Greenport Hull. And adjacent to that, the Port of Grimsby, which is the UK's largest O&M port, supporting both the largest number of wind farms currently operational, but also the largest scale wind farms. Lowestoft is an existing hub for SSE's Greater Gabbard wind farm and Scottish Power Renewables East Anglia 1. But in 2021, ABP started work on Project Leaf, a £35 million investment to create state-of-the-art infrastructure to meet current and future industry demand. Once complete later this year, the facility will allow the Port of Lowestoft's outer harbour to support up to 10 gigawatts of offshore wind farms. It will accommodate the next generation of offshore support vessels with 360 metres of deeper berthing capacity, as well as new offices and additional facilities for crew transfer vessels. Ports are going to play an even more significant role when we start to look at floating offshore wind farms versus fixed bottom. Whereas fixed bottom turbines are essentially pieced together at sea, it's much more difficult to build a turbine atop a platform. The floating turbines will need to be completely assembled in port and then tugged out to sea. This assembly process is going to require not just a whole load of space ashore, but also the construction of heavy lift quaysides capable of handling the cranes that are going to be building the football pitch sized platforms and lay down space for the turbine blades, which are nearly as tall as the Eiffel Tower. Port Talbot, with its extensive brownfield development land, deep water and proximity to the Celtic Sea, make it an ideal location for supporting floating offshore wind projects. Moving on to energy transition, the UK government has plans for 10 gigawatts of low carbon hydrogen to be in production or construction by 2030. Currently, there is no significant domestic production of this type of hydrogen in the UK. Air Products, as a first mover, aim to address the urgent task of reducing the UK's dependency on fossil fuels. And ABP are working with Air Products to develop a major hydrogen generation site in Immingham. The facility, which will be fed by imported green ammonia, seeks to provide competitive zero-emission fuel for hard-to-abate industrial and transport uses. As one of the UK's largest ports for handling energy products, the Port of Immingham already has the proven capability and much of the infrastructure required for green energy commodity operations. To facilitate the project, ABP will invest to build the Immingham Green Energy Terminal, a jetty consisting of an approach trestle of over a kilometre in length, leading to up to two berths. As well as handling green ammonia, the jetty is being designed to accommodate other cargoes connected to energy transition, and specifically the import of liquid CO2 from carbon capture storage projects for sequestration into the southern North Sea. The Climate Change Committee described carbon capture, utilisation and storage as a necessity and not an option to enable the UK to meet its legally binding obligations to hit net zero by 2050. There are a number of reasons why ports play an essential role in the UK's ability to deliver on these targets. First of all, as I said earlier, ports are often situated near industrial hubs, including power plants, refineries, manufacturing facilities, all significant producers of CO2. The proximity of the ports to these emitters means that it reduces both the cost and the complexity of working with these CCUS projects. Of course, not all of the industries sit at the end of a pipeline, and therefore it's crucial that CO2 shipping becomes an availability. and where we can see emitters, where we have stranded emitters not connected to pipeline, we can see liquefied CO2 taken to the offshore storage sites. Moving on to the transportation hubs, it's clear that ports are located with good access to shipping routes, railroads and highways, and also the access to the geological storage sites, be it depleted oil and gas fields or saline aquifers. Ports often operate within regions with supportive policies and regulations for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And this regulatory environment can often facilitate and even accelerate these CCUS projects. Working together, Harbour Energy and ABP plan to develop a CO2 import terminal at the Port of Immingham's Green Energy Terminal. This will link to Harbour Energy's Viking CCS transport and storage network, meaning that stranded emitters in the likes of South Wales can be connected to high-capacity storage sites in the southern North Sea. Ports can integrate carbon capture with other green technologies. For instance, CO2 captured from industrial processes can be used in the production of synthetic fuels. Project Dragon in Port Talbot, which is shown in the CGI image, is a live example of how port infrastructure is required to support decarbonisation of the aviation sector. LanzaTech is proposing to develop a plant capable of producing 102 million litres of sustainable aviation fuel per year, which equates to about 10% of the forecasted UK demand for SAF by 2030. Waste gases from local industry in Port Talbot will be captured and transformed into ethanol using gas fermentation technology. And LanzaTech's alcohol-to-jet process will then convert that ethanol into sustainable aviation fuel. ABP will invest in new marine infrastructure to enable the export of SAF by sea to other UK ports that are connected to airport fuel pipelines. Numerous ports within our portfolio are also in close proximity to biogenic CO2 sources from energy from waste plants. These emissions, in combination with green hydrogen, present the opportunity to produce e-methanol, a future fuel which will be essential to decarbonising the shipping industry. There are currently over 300 methanol-ready ships in build globally, and the port land can be used to facilitate production of these fuels and also access to the water for discharge of the product to enable ship-to-ship bunkering in the ports. When we look at all of these things collectively, it's evident that we can't achieve net zero without our ports. They are key to creating viable energy transition pathways. As enablers, ports can initiate collaboration, partnerships and consortia to align their climate goals and predict energy demand. As landlords and investors, we can optimise spatial planning to ensure that infrastructure and land are made available for low-carbon and no-carbon energy projects. In summary, the combination of energy generation integration, energy and fuel transition, and carbon capture, utilisation and storage with port infrastructure means we should see these industrial clusters transform into green growth ecosystems. Thank you.